Fast Energy Business Owners. Call Cordyne for all your electrical control manufacturing needs at 713-460-5151 or Cordyne.com.
KGOW, 1560 AM, Bel Air, Texas. Hey, G-Bags, welcome back to Game Time with Raheel and Dale. Give them a call at 713-439-1560. Yeah, that's right. I called you G-Bag.
Back here on the new Game Time, I'm Dale LA with Raheel Ramzanali and Kevin Joseph with us as well. As you know, around this time, every Sunday, it's Astros Daily Time. We talk about the Astros on Saturday, talk about them on Sunday. They are our Houston's baseball team, so we get to them as much as we can. Bob Holsey joins us. How you doing, Bob?
Doing great. How have you been today?
We're good. Raheel, you're good too, right?
You know what? I've been better. The Astros, like Dell mentioned, we will talk about them because they are the team of choice for Houston baseball, and we love the Astros. They're just not doing that great right now. How frustrating has it been for you, Bob?
Well, I don't know if frustrating is the right word. I think what I've learned, though, is that the Astros are not strong enough in any particular department, any particular side of the ball, to dominate for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw in May with the offense doing very well is probably about the only area that we can expect the team to be excellent. And at this point of the season, if you're not able to put a sustained effort together to get, you know, into the playoff race or to make it to the playoffs, then you're going to find yourself in the sort of situation that the Astros are, just sort of treading water. And even though there's been a lot of dispiriting talk about the Astros this year, they've been basically treading water. If you look at, say, their last 10 games, if you look at the last 30 games, they're essentially a 500 team. They mm-hmm. win, they lose. They win, they lose. And, you know, that, unfortunately, we're at the point of the season where that's not enough anymore.
Yeah, the month of May is being brought up a lot this week because of how hot the team was, and I'm looking at the schedule right now, and you look at the wins that they got. They sweep Milwaukee at home. They take two out of three from Washington. They go out to L.A., take three in a row from there. And after that, you take three out of four from the Giants. You lose two out of three with the Rangers, and so on and so on. But you look at the month of May, and it gave false hope to Drayton McClain and Ed Wade. Is that going to be a problem, building the team for next season or not making a trade for this season?
Well, if you're going to put it in those terms, yes, I'd say yes, because they clearly are indicating that they're not planning to make any significant trades as far as getting rid of people, which would be the only way you're going to bring in some new talent. You know, there is the likelihood that they'll go into the free agency market and add another player or two that they think will make a difference. But I'm getting the opinion that what you see right now is largely what you're going to see of the Astros next year, except, you know, for a change here or there.
Bob, Drayton McClain came out and said, I've seen the month of May. This team is a good team. Is that par for the course for him, or was that even a shock to you that he would come out and say, this team is a good baseball team, where you're like, well, that's Drayton being Drayton?
Well, he owns the team. He can say whatever he wants. I mean, the way I look at it is that I think what you saw in May may have been playing a little bit above their heads, but it did show the potential of this ball club. But essentially what we've got, we were expecting four guys to really carry the offense, Berkman, Lee, Pence, and Tejada. And back when we were going very well, at least three of those four were clicking. And what we've been seeing ever since is that maybe one is clicking and the other three are struggling. And it's very, very hard to win consistently or score consistently when you've only got one of your key hitters hitting well.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Berkman, of course, was very hot for the first couple of months, and then he cooled off. Carlos Lee has been very good for the past month or so. But it just seems like that there's no time when the Astros are firing on all cylinders. And the what can be frustrating about this is that the Astros have successfully avoided the injury bug this year for the most part. I mean, we haven't seen any of our big hitters go on the DL or miss a significant period of time. So you have to factor that in when you're planning out an entire season, that there typically are going to be times when you're going to lose some of your top players, and we really haven't seen that this year other than, say, Roy Oswalt or, for a while, Wandy Rodriguez.
Yeah, those that, and that's a big part of the season, the injuries. Real quickly, I want to get your take on this, Bob. How has Drayton McLean been doing as an owner in your eyes?
Well, I have to look at it through the entire historical view of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a discussion on our forums lately about who else could own the Astros. And I don't think that there's a very long list of people that are willing to jump in and take that. Not that I'm eager to see Drayton sell the club, because I think there's a 50-50 chance that the ownership would be worse, not better. He has changed his opinion over the years. When he first bought the team, he was interested in making a lot of changes. And one of the things that he did is he rushed right out and signed two top pitchers, Doug Drabeck and Greg Swindell. Well, both wound up disappointing in an Astros uniform, and I think it had taught McLean a lesson that you couldn't go for the quick fix. Well, he was able to successfully build up the team through the late 90s and then found that they had plateaued. He needed, you know, some big free agent signings to get you up to the next level. So that's where we signed Kent. We would have signed Carlos Beltran to a long contract if that had worked out.
Yeah.
We signed Clemens, we signed Pettit, and we go to the World Series. So then, after that happened, now he's in a situation, I think, where he thinks that he can still sign some big money free agents in order to get back to the World Series, and it's not quite that simple.
713-439-1560. You want to ask a question of Bob Holsey from AstrosDaily.com, please call in, and you can also email us gametime@1560thegame.com. Today, Zachary Levine, one of our favorite writers from the Houston Chronicle, wrote about the Astros being a two-man team, a two-man show, as you put it. Astros lineup, a two-man show of Berkman and Lee. Do you agree with that assessment, or do you think it's, if Hunter Pence and Miguel Tejada, like you mentioned, if they're on, it's a four-man team, but right now it's Berkman and Lee, and as bad as the Astros have been this year, both of them top 10 in almost every major category in batting.
He makes a very good point with that, and yes, Lee and Berkman have obviously been the two top wheels in the batting order, and I think coming into the season, everybody expected as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's been some disappointment in Tejada's play, and I think part of that really is a matter of what did you expect when you got him? Were you expecting the guy who was an MVP 4 years ago, or were you expecting the guy that they thought was going to be a dramatic fall off that the Orioles were just eager to unload? I think he's been somewhere in the middle of that. He's been better, I think, than some people expected. He's been worse than some people hoped for. Hunter Pence, I think, is another person who probably has disappointed. He had a spectacular rookie season, and while I think that many people would have probably expected him to maybe have a bit of a sophomore slump or a bit of a fall off in his second year as pitchers adjust to him and a book starts to get formed on him around the league. At the same time, he really hasn't delivered in ways that we expected him to. And we found some very big holes in his swing that he's needed to adapt and adjust to, and I don't think he's all the way there yet. If he can develop better plate discipline, I think he can be as good as Berkman and Lee eventually, but he needs to get there.
Bob, looking to next year just a bit, been talking this show about maybe going after a guy like Ben Sheets to kind of support that pitching staff that was questioned going into the season, although you get some good performances out of Sampson and Wandy Rodriguez as well. Is Ben Sheets a guy that fits the mold of a guy Drayton McLean would go after in the offseason, that one guy that you say, all right, we're trying to win, we'll put him with Oswalt and hope our offense that we thought was good the previous season is what it should be?
Maybe he is somebody we would pursue, but frankly, I wouldn't want to do it because of his injury history. I mean, I don't have any problems with character issues, although there was a few ones that he's had in Milwaukee. I think that the main issue is that he's had trouble staying healthy over his career. And I wrote a column a couple of months ago in which I basically looked at all the star pitchers from around 2004, 2005 and asked, where are they now? Where's Pedro Martinez? Where's Barry Zito? Where's Jason Schmidt? I mean, you sign these pitchers to big money contracts, and they don't always pan out.
No.
And you're left with owing a lot of money to a guy that's not producing.
Yeah, how's Dontrelle Willis doing? Whew.
Yeah, Chris Carpenter. I mean, you know, look at all the guys that were star pitchers just a few years ago. So when you have people that are asking for 5- and 6- and 7-year contracts, you just have to step back for a moment and say, well, is this guy really going to be worth it for that amount of money and that amount of time?
Hey, Bob, I've got to ask you this. We're at the point this season where it seems like the Astros will not make that run that everybody's looking for in the standings right now, 47-56, 12.5 games behind, and they're in last place in the NL Central. So when the games are on, you guys at AstrosDaily.com have a passion, you have a history, you have some traditions there for the Astros. But when the Astros are not playing the best baseball, when the games are on, are you flipping around and watching something else, or do you sit through it?
Well, it kind of depends on my level of interest that day.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a real job where I have to work and please my bosses and such, so there's conflicts there. But at the same time, one of the things that I try to do is I try to look at what else I can be doing to the website.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me, during the slow times, I can polish up a few areas where the site needs some polishing up. So it's one thing to, I don't really obsess on the season. I'm kind of glad in some ways when the Astros are not in that, you know, nail-biting sort of pennant race, not because I don't like to see it, but because I tend to take more time away from other things then.
So yeah.
When it's a bad season, I'm more likely to be able to keep caught up on other things.
Bob, you're speaking of your interest. How interested are you in seeing how Roy Oswalt closes out the season? He's going to come back and start on Monday. What are you looking for from Roy? Just to stay healthy to finish out and close out the year?
Well, he's had a streak ever since he got into the league of winning at least 10 games every year. And so he's, what, in his eighth season now. And that's actually pretty rare when you're talking about modern-day pitching as far as sustained excellence of being able to deliver wins. So I think that one of the things I'm sort of looking for, and this is kind of a low-bar expectation, is that he'll get to 10 wins. He's at 7 now.
Oof.
And I think that, you know, hopefully he gets to maybe around 13 or 14. But at this point, we just want to see him healthy. We just want to see him get all those little kinks worked out that have been bedeviling him all year. You know, work it out so that he's not giving up the home run balls that he was early in the season.
That's never good when you're ace, when you say, hey, let's get to 10 wins and we'll be happy.
Well, let's look at it. Who's leading the club right now in wins? It's Roy, and it's only 7.
Yeah, it's not like he's too far ahead of everybody else. The Wandy at 6. Backy, I believe, is at 6-2. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's running away with it. Hey, Bob, I'm on the website right now, and as always, great stuff up there. Your Astro Wire, I forgot to tell you this the last time we talked. It's such a great feature because it finds all the stories that have the word Astros in it and anything regarding the Houston Astros, and it's up there for the readers of AstrosDaily.com. So check out their website. And also, this date in Astros history, you are the king of that section, right?
Well, I want to mention one thing about that. We have a very good library of audio and video clips mm-hmm. that we've culminated. Our friend Gene Elston has provided many of them for us. And the great thing about it is that we've worked it into other material
mm-hmm.
so that you can go to, for example, the This Day in Astros History, and there's items that you can not only read about, but you can actually click on a link and you can actually listen to a video clip of you know, the radio call of that day or see the videotape of some important milestone.
Yeah, that, the one 1982, Nolan Ryan's 200th win, got an audio soundbite of that. That's pretty cool.
So I don't know if it's just me or if it's everybody, but when I see those, I just can't resist clicking them on and listening to them one more time or watching them one more time.
Yeah, or at least you click on it. You have to click on it. You never know if there's some other file there, so it could always be a surprise. That's always good.
I promise there's no porn on the site.
Oh, well, you just lost half the listeners. No, AstrosDaily.com, no porn on the site. Bob Holsey, thank you very much for joining us. And as always, it was a pleasure to talk to you about some exciting Houston Astros baseball. I know it's tough, but we're trying.
We're doing our best, Raheel.
Hey, there you go. Thank you very much. We enjoy the segment.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. That is Bob Holsey from AstrosDaily.com. He joins us, and actually, they have a rotating staff that joins us out here on Sundays, and I believe next week it's going to be in person.
You think that should be their slogan, Astros Daily, no porn on the website?
Yeah. Well, when the team is this bad, you might have to throw some porn up there. AstrosDaily.com and free porn.
And a link to 2Vates or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, real quickly, since we're already over on this break and our friend has been holding for a while, we have to get to him, Brent Blackburn from the Back Nine Golf Show with his Sunday tip of the week.
Gamers, it's time to get that foursome going and clean out your buddy's wallet. Here's Brent Blackburn from the Back Nine Golf Show with his Sunday tip of the week. Golf is life, son.
Golf is life, son, and golf is also a game of tips and practice. Brent Blackburn joins us from the Back Nine Golf Show. Brent, how you doing?